Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
If you build it, he will.
It's the City on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowell.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday. Excuse me, Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It's slick out there, so be careful. Give yourself plenty of time. Go slow. And pay attention to all the things that are around you. Other than that, it's going to start kind of warming up this week. I think by the time we are in here next week, 50s, high 50s, at least right now. We all know that can change.
You better not be fooling.
That's what it says so far.
You got to be careful when you give the weather on the radio, because if it's not right, it's your fault.
Oh, gosh.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Get ready.
Did you screw up?
No, that's just experience talking. I've been off by a couple of degrees. Jared, you said it would be 52. It's 50 out here. Well, I'm sorry.
I could tell that person go jump in a creek pretty easy.
There's so much I want to say to people sometimes.
Well, just fire it out there.
Can I? I took a voicemail today. Can I explain that to you?
Fire it out there.
Someone called me this weekend. Called me. And I got a policy. If it's not in my, if I don't have your contact, I don't answer. If it's important, they'll leave a message, right? Or text me. This person left a message. It was a 580 number, said it came from Elk City. They left a message. I can't repeat the message because it was pretty dang dirty. All right? So I did some homework, found out who this person is, found out they gleaned my number off the Tradio list. I've been trying to sell a generator. By the way, I got a generator for sale if anyone wants to buy it. So I'm very tempted to put this certain individual on blast. I know your name, buddy. I got your phone number, too. And if my kid had heard that, because I was driving home from the tournament on Saturday and she was with me, and thankfully I didn't answer that, and thankfully I didn't listen to the voicemail until I got home and took it off of my speakerphone off my truck. But if my kid had heard that, I probably wouldn't be here right now.
Whoa! Simmer down, Jared.
I would find this person.
No, you wouldn't.
I would.
No, you wouldn't. You're going to find them and go fight them?
I would confront them.
Well, then that leads to a fight.
Who calls somebody and leaves a dirty message like that? By the way, it was a pretty dirty message coming from a man.
Uh-oh.
I know your name, buddy.
Fire it out there.
I'm going to draw the line right there.
Fire it out there.
I was so close to just putting this guy on blast on Facebook, putting his phone number out there, everything.
Now, wait a minute. Let's talk about this. If you did that on Facebook, would that be a Chad move?
A Chad move.
Karen for boys.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right.
I'm asking.
You're right. I kind of stopped myself right there. So that seems like it's taking the low road. I might be taking the low road right now talking about it. But
well, you're not telling anybody's name.
No.
Unfortunately.
But I know this person's name. And I know how he got my number because of Tradio.
Well,
which is sad. Which is absolutely sad.
Did he want a generator?
No, he didn't want a generator.
What did he want?
I'm not telling you what he wanted.
Just cussing?
Nope. It was of sexual nature.
Oh, dear.
Aaron.
Oh, dear.
You're not very smart. In today's day and age, if you're going to call somebody and leave a prank phone call or harass somebody, maybe don't do it from your own cell phone that you use to text in Tradio or try to win tickets from us and leave your name.
I'd do a burner if I was them, like a KD burner.
Yeah.
Just got to make sure you got the right one. Well, goodness.
Anyways, that's how my weekend was. Good. How was your weekend?
Goodness gracious. Spent a lot of it at Washington and then yesterday inside.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of it at Washington. You've got a bunch of candidates to help you out here, so that's good. The listening, our fans, our listening audience is willing to help you. So good stuff. Very good stuff. Spent the weekend in Washington, or Saturday in Washington. Big Elks lost the seventh place game, 50-26 to Sulphurs. First time I really felt like, they just kind of looked like, and we were just talking in the, off air. I like the tournaments that don't have the seventh place game. Because you might end up getting people that don't really have much care to be there at early morning on a Saturday.
Like a 10 a.m. game.
It was like 11, but still.
Yeah, still, it's and not that was, as, yeah.
To their credit, that's the first time where it was like, okay, I don't really know how much they want to be here. After a couple of tough games and, it just kind of, they need a couple of days off. It's going to be good to have, a few days off and then come back tomorrow and try to get things turned back around. Against Clinton over in the Tornado Dome tomorrow. It'd be, the schedule wears on you, right? When you look at the rankings and all the teams that they play over and over and over, and then it's just one of those deals. So it's been pretty rough. After a really good week, I thought, at Hinton in that tournament, playing some really good basketball. And then the three games in a row. Let's see. Let me get the boys' rankings. So a week ago Tuesday, you play Weatherford, which is number one in 4A. Then you go to Blanchard, who is number 10. And then you played North Rock Creek, which is number two. Three in a row. None of those went very well. It kind of gets you a little bit down. So hopefully the Elks will kind of regroup over the weekend, get a couple of days off, practice or what have you. And then here you go the next, kind of try to down the stretch here of the regular season. The Elkettes, on the other hand, got a couple of really nice wins against some teams that maybe not the name, but the quality that's going to be teams they're going to see regional tournament, trying to make an area tournament and that kind of thing, with Broken Bow last Thursday and then on Saturday in the third place game there at Washington, beating a pretty good Tecumseh team. I'd actually, just with the way the games and the schedule worked, I had seen Tecumseh every day, with where they were in the schedules, and that was a pretty good team. And the Elkettes played really nice in the second half, especially after falling behind by a point at halftime. It's kind of a game of runs. It seemed like the Elkettes were ahead like three and a half minutes left in the first half, up 17-10. Felt like everything was kind of going their way, and then all of a sudden, to close the quarter. And then on into the third quarter, Tecumseh scored 11 in a row to lead 21-17. And then you thought, uh-oh, things are kind of going back to what we saw the night before, where they just could not get the ball in the basket against a really good Washington team. But things kind of settled out, and they really played well and hit shots, made plays that allowed them to win 41-33. So a really good week, I thought, for the Elkettes, beating some teams in 4A teams that are kind of right there. Their records are better than the Elkettes because of some of those losses that Elk City took before the break. We say it kind of when I talk to Coach Ham or whoever, one of the main thoughts since Christmas is, boy, that's a game we'd have lost before Christmas.
Yeah.
With such a young team.
Yeah.
Saw it a ton down at Childress, some games that they really should have won but were unable to win, and maybe that's youth, maybe it's experience, maybe it's just coming together as a team, but they really played well. And so it's a team that the record's not very shiny, 6-11 now, I think is what they are. But it's also a team that's starting to kind of hit their stride and ought to be able to win tomorrow. And then you get Bethany after that. There's to finish out the season, there's some games that I think are going to be winnable down the stretch.
Well, exactly. I was looking at the schedule with that youth you talk about, and you love to see youth, promising youth that you know they're going to get better. And it's really fun to see it when you see them get better in the middle of a year. You don't have to wait a full off season to say, okay, let's start a new season. Well, with this schedule, you mentioned the Bethany game. It is what it is. But, you know, very winnable game next or tomorrow at Clinton. You got at Chickasha, Newcastle. Couple ranked teams there at the bottom of the schedule that who knows what could happen. That's a long road trip to Duncan, Kingfisher, and wrap up the season with Cash. But point is, there's some winnable games where, like you said, you'd think, well, those are probably losses. But then you can go, well, we play our cards right. We play good basketball. We could win those games. So maybe get on a little bit of a roll here before playoffs.
Yeah, it's possible. I think there's some promising signs. One, I mean, Abby Brown has been awesome since the calendar turned to January, averaging 20-ish a game. But there's also stretches in those games, like against Broken Bow. She had 21 through three quarters, didn't score in the fourth, and the Elkettes put 15 on the board without her putting any in the basket to not even hold the lead, but also outscore them by two in the fourth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then on Saturday, I don't think she scored in the first half, if I remember right. But enough offense, enough plays from everybody else to be, have a 7-point lead with 3.5 to go in the first half. And then, you know, everything just dried up offensively. But then in the second half, there she was. I think she ended up scoring 12 or 14 and hit a huge shot as the Elkettes kind of ran away from Tecumseh in the middle of the third into the fourth quarter, had as much as maybe a 13 or 14-point lead. That started to dwindle down. I think it was down to 6. Is it maybe as close as it got when the game was in play and ended up being an 8-point game and maybe some free throws. But, you know, as far as where it really looked like Tecumseh might have a chance, and she hit a step back jumper from just inside the 3-point line on the right wing to just stop that run. You know, I think they'd scored like 7 straight, maybe a 13-point lead down to 6, and she hits that shot and just boom, it's over. You know what I mean? Like she hit some big shots. And everybody else did too. I mean, it's fun to watch them, like you said, come together in real time, in games, in one season, to where they're winning games now that they'd have never won before the break. And that's a testament to them. It's a testament to the coaching staff and Coach Hamm and Taylor and Hunter of just kind of continuing to grow with a young team. So kudos to the Elkettes. A really good finish there at the Rocky Clark Invitational. Do you know who Rocky Clark was? Is? I never was for sure if he was still alive.
No, I don't. No, Rodney Clark.
Yeah, so Rocky Clark is like the all-time, one of the most all-time winningest girls basketball coaches, or basketball coaches there is in Oklahoma.
Right up there with Bertha Frank Teague?
I think he's taken more teams to state tournaments.
Wow, no.
I was looking at
it. At Washington, I assume?
There was Bing. So he might have even followed Bertha Frank Teague.
Seems like if you want to coach in girls basketball, try to get to Bing.
Gosh, it was Bing. I read about it in one of the lulls there. I'm trying to find it on it. I'll have to look it up. Bing, Dale was a spot. Washington was a spot. I think he made 26 state tournaments, 25 state tournaments. It just said record beside it. But anyhow, I didn't know that. I wasn't sure. I knew that it was named after him, and then I figured that out later on. So, pretty cool stuff.
That is cool.
I think he might have passed away, but I was listening. You know, one of those, like, where they're reading the spiel down at the PA, and you're kind of getting ready, and you kind of hear a little bit of what they're saying. Like, I wish the Elk City wasn't playing at that time, so I'd really know all the facts, you know what I'm saying, about what they said. There at the gym. But anyhow, I know a very, very impressive coaching record, that's for sure. What about the West Central? What happened over there at Weatherford?
Where do you want me to start? Canute or overall?
That's fine. Canute's fine.
The Canute boys played Arapahoe Butler second time this year for third place, and the storyline for me was how was Canute going to bounce back after the blowout loss to Sentinel in the semifinal game, and they bounced back nicely, won it 65-49, and it was a lot of mental toughness in that game because Arapahoe, you know, they're getting better. They're playing better under Coach Rogers. We suspected that they would, and they put on some runs and put a lot of pressure on Canute, but Canute always had an answer in one pulling away. Four Trojans scored in double digits, led by Jackson Beck, 17. He finally started hitting it from outside, 4 of 6 from 3-point. Let's see here. Nate Bryant was good. He had 13 points, 10 points from Jake Butler, 12 from Clay Randall. Clay Randall, you talk about hitting key shots. He hit some key threes, looking like his brother out there from outside. And as a team, and I've said this all season long, and Saturday was a good indicator of that. If they are, all of them collectively are hitting the three-point consistently, they're incredibly hard to beat. They hit over 50% from the field outside of the for three. So I think as a team, it was pretty good right there on that end. So they took the third place title. Trojanettes, they took on Sentinel. And again, another rematch there. And it was a little closer than the last time. Sentinel had a pretty good game plan coming out, basically slowing down the game, not allowing Canute's offense to touch the ball as much as they'd like. And Sentinel was very patient with it against the zone defense, working around the perimeter until they found some either open shots or some play inside. But Canute would hold on and win in 39-35 to take the title for the second year in a row. I'm trying to pull up some stats for you. Gabby Espinoza was great. She had a game-high 12 points. She, too, hit some key three-pointers. She started the game hitting threes. She made some hustle plays in the middle, hit a big three-pointer in the fourth quarter that, again, it gave like a two-score lead, put the pressure on Sentinel to try to score quick. And that kind of played in to their game plan where slowing down the game was not what you wanted to do when you're down, say, 5 with 90 seconds left. And then it forced some turnovers. Credit Gabby Espinoza right there. She's been a pleasure to watch, starting for the first time as a senior this year. And you talk about a player that's gotten better as the season's gone on. She's getting real confident from her outside shooting. Another kind of a side story there on Thursday night or Friday in the semifinal against Thomas Faye Custer, Destiny Jackson twisted up her ankle really bad. And, I mean, there's maybe 4 minutes left in the game, and talking to Coach Ridley afterwards, she said, I was about a minute away from pulling her out, and then that happened. It just happens. And so she was out, obviously out for the rest of that game, and the big question was, could she give it a go on Saturday against Sentinel, or do you hold her out? And we talked about how important these games were this week for rankings and positioning in the rankings and everything. And she did give it a go, but she was clearly not 100%. You know, the first thing you look for is how does she land on it? And you know, she'd go for a rebound, get the rebound, come down on it, and then, man, you just look at her face. Yeah. And it was – and so she was only held to 8 points. And it, clearly she was limited in what she could do. So there are some girls that stepped up. MVP of the tournament was Kendall Schuster for good reason. She had a tough task of guarding Riley Pruitt, who's just equally as tall as her. She's a senior for Sentinel, great player. Held her scoreless in the first half, but then the foul started – mounting up against Kendall, she had to come out with four fouls. Well, then Sentinel started to take advantage of that. When she was reinserted with about 2 minutes left, she had two big buckets on the offensive end, just great post moves, hook shot, good court awareness, good presence, and helped pull her team away. And I thought that might be MVP worthy when she came back in the game, because you saw what was happening when she was off the floor. When she was put back on the floor, she was the difference, and sure enough, she got that nod. So that was pretty cool, just as a sophomore taking the MVP honors in that tournament. Her future is bright. So it was a tough win. Credit Sentinel. Coach Carter had a great game plan in that game, of knowing, okay, limit their touches offensively, be patient offensively on our side, and see what happens. And it was a pretty good game plan, but Canute came out on the better end and took the title again for the second year in a row. So now, programming note, there's supposed to be a game tonight, the rescheduled game versus Duke was supposed to come to town, or is supposed to come to town, and they moved that up to 5 o'clock. As of now, That's still happening. I haven't seen an alert or anything, although there's no school today. But that's still happening. There's also supposed to be games up in Leedy with the junior high. They've already sent out the message that game has been canceled. Haven't seen anything about this high school game. I'm told they'll make a decision around noon.
Oh, okay.
So just I'll put it out on Paragon TV's Facebook page if there's a
I wonder if Duke is in school.
I don't know. I don't know if the weather went down that far south.
I know,
south
that's
and
what
west.
I was wondering. Yeah. That maybe allows it.
Or they might say, we don't want to drive up there. Yeah. Again, game doesn't even matter. It matters and it doesn't matter. With the rankings, it doesn't matter. Matters right. If you want to play.
You see what Jimmy brought us?
Why would he bring ice cream on a day with ice outside?
He brought us ice cream.
Why?
I don't know. Salty caramel tracks and blackberry cobbler.
Cobbler sounds good.
You want the blackberry cobbler?
Is he wanting us to taste test?
Yeah,
ice
I think
cream?
He is. I'm not supposed to be eating sugar in January, and I've done an unbelievable job of it. But for the job, I feel like I've got to do it.
You're not supposed to be eating sugar in January. Is this a New Year's thing?
No, it's just the month. My wife and I try to do. We used to really do this pretty religiously every month. Have kind of a health challenge.
Uh huh.
This month was no sugar or is like no sweets.
That's no hard sweets. To do when we have like tournaments.
You're telling me. Here's the deal. I've cheated twice.
Oh.
Once during the Hinton tournament, when me and Garbo went to a Mexican restaurant, they brought us sopapillas out, and I felt like I had to do it.
Well, like on the house or something?
Yeah,
or?
They just gave them to us. So I tried those. And then Saturday, we both were together, and we went to a place in Oklahoma City that's literally named a cake. It's by Penn Square Mall. It's named after their dessert.
Oh.
And so you kind of had to have that, right?
Were the menus like 50 pages long?
No. Oh, different not different that place. Different
okay.
place. Different place.
But yeah, I see what you're saying.
So anyhow, we ate the cake. Now I'm going to try this. I mean, we got to do it, right?
I guess. That's why he's bringing this. Is
whiskey,
this the
Yeah, whiskey cake is what it is called. I don't know. Is it new?
It is. I'm trying to.
We have to get Jimmy on the show.
This is Ice Cream Factory.
Never heard of it.
That's the brand. Out of Eldon, Missouri. And you're taking the what? What do you got there?
Salty caramel tracks. Salted caramel ice cream with a caramel swirl and peanut butter cups.
Oh, well. I like peanut butter cups. I don't like the salty sweets together.
You don't?
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of dipping fries in ice cream or you've seen the Reese's peanut butter cup with the chips in it. Not a fan. How is it?
Delicious.
Well, it's ice cream, so why shouldn't it be? Okay, I have the blackberry cobbler. Now that sounds good. Now I'm a little worried this won't taste good because when you think of blackberry cobbler or any cobbler a la mode, what's good about that? The cobbler's hot,
yeah,
and the ice cream's cold, but this is going to be straight cold, so we'll see what happens. Here we go. That is definitely blackberry cobbler. It has
it sure does.
What am I trying to say? The crust.
It's got a little crust in there.
Yeah. Kind of like a chocolate chip cookie dough, little chunks of it. Has the chunks of the crust in here. It's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
The salty caramel tracks, you want to try it? You want to switch?
Yeah, let's do that.
See which one you think is the best. Like you got
boy, this show just totally went a different direction
well,
with the ice cream.
It's what everybody wants to hear about. Is
about food?
Ice cream and food. And
curious where he got this. I wonder if you can just get this at Walmart.
Yeah, I know. I'll have to ask him.
Here we go. I could definitely get the peanut butter and the salty. I mean, they're both good. You know what? I changed my mind. I'd rather have this one than that one. I like the caramel in there.
See, and I think I'd rather have the blackberry cobbler.
Well, there
and
you
I
go.
Can't believe I'm saying that with peanut butter cups and something.
But pretty good.
That is good.
I'll have to throw those in the freezer.
That blackberry cobbler is tasty now. I'm going to get one more bite.
Go for it. Pretty good. Thank you, Jimmy.
Sorry, Kara. It was for the show.
It's for the show. Sacrifices we make. sacrifices.
I didn't want to do it. I had to.
It would have been a boring show.
I had to do it. Yeah, I'd recommend that. Figure out where he got that.
Honestly, I mean, is there any bad ice cream?
No. Absolutely not. There's no bad ice cream.
No.
Question, are the 4A rankings set? No, not yet. That'll be next Monday. So
they're a week behind, yeah.
So this Monday, today, about 4 o'clock or whenever those come out, it seems like it's pretty late afternoon, Class A and Class B will be locked in. Rankings are set, and then we will have pairings announced on Friday. Then you roll over to next Monday. I think it's just next Monday. Sometimes it's two. I think it's just next Monday, though. The 2A through 4A final rankings. Let me make sure that's right. Schedule. Here it is. Yes. Yeah, so here's how it works. Polls closed today. They released the poll for A and B, and it is their final ranking. Then coming up on Friday, the 26th, is when the playoff pairings will be released for Class A and Class B. Then the polls close next Monday for 2A through 4A. And then next Friday, the 2nd of February, we'll have playoff pairings released for 2A and 4A. So we will know. We can start guessing tomorrow who might be paired together in areas and that kind of thing for A and B. And we can do that in a week from Tuesday for 2A and 4A. Did you see what happened over the weekend in golf?
No.
Yesterday?
No, I was too hyper-focused in on football.
Nick Dunlap.
Okay, that name came up on my phone. I didn't really...
He plays golf at Alabama.
Right.
He's an amateur.
Okay.
Like 20 years old. He won on the PGA Tour.
Hey.
In the same group with Sam Burns and Justin Thomas. Nick Dunlap got it done. I think he's the youngest winner on the PGA Tour since 1910. What a win.
So what's that mean? Does he...
He gets to go to the Masters.
Okay,
so
that's what
he doesn't... Okay, so here's the deal. He doesn't get the check, the $1.5 million check. But he gains... there's a tournament on the college schedule in March that he's the defending medalist. Defending individual champion that he's more than likely going to skip. You know why?
Because it's the same weekend of the Masters?
It's the same weekend as the Players' Championship.
Of the Players.
Yeah, he's now in. Now he's got like 2 years' worth of exemption.
I got a question. I want to go back. You said he can't have the money?
No. Which is crazy.
Because he's an amateur or,
yes.
Or because of college?
Same thing. Amateur status.
Why can't maybe take that money and...
As NIL?
As NIL.
I have no idea.
Reroute it somewhere.
I don't...
I think that's dangerously close to money laundering, but... I mean,
it could be.
Give it to a car dealership and they pay him.
I think it's more a... maybe the USGA amateur rules as opposed to a college.
College.
Yeah, they kind of adopt
those. Because let's face it, there's no college rules anymore.
No. But it is kind of silly to think that... You know, football players are making millions of dollars from some schmo that likes their team. And this guy earned $1.5 million on the PGA Tour, and he can't have it.
He can't have it at all. Like, he can't have it now. Can he have it later? I mean, just absolutely. It's just voided.
It's just no. It goes to
the next second place guy.
The Zadenhut, who got second, gets first place money.
You think he's thinking that coming down the wire, coming down the last hole? Thinking, hey, doesn't matter, first or second, I get the money.
Now here's he was in front of him, but yeah, he didn't care. Like, you have to go to a playoff, you win. I mean, there's exemptions that go with it, so you definitely want to win. But as far as the money goes, yeah, he didn't know he was going to get it all. Question is, can they get it if they turn pro right then? The answer is no. They have to declare that going in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Declare your plan, yeah.
You have to declare the plan. So they can't, he can't go, oh, just kidding. Like, run out there and tackle Bazadenhut and get that big check. No, I'm turning pro. It's mine. We can't do that. But, cool.
Well, that's really cool. But
it was incredible.
What is kind of scary is he won that, can't have the money. What if that turns into his biggest win.
Well, there's a chance
it
is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he's thinking, while he's a pro, thinking, man, if I was a pro, if rules weren't so...
I could have had a $1.5 million
money,
payday.
But now I'm constantly finishing.
Think how fast he would blow that in Tuscaloosa.
Well, he might buy a quarterback.
Yeah.
or any position all that sudden, football team is hemorrhaging right now.
All of a sudden, Nick Dunlap is the king of NIL around Tuscaloosa. Other high school hoop stuff. Bi-County was awesome out here at Merritt. We got the matchup I wanted, at least. No offense to everybody else.
No, everyone was paying attention to that. I think
we got the matchup on Saturday night, Merritt and Sealing. I think this shows you how hard it is to, A, play Sealing, and then, B, beat them. I was thinking about this. As Merritt, they were down, what, 5 going into the fourth quarter? I think 44-39 was the score going into the fourth, and then all of a sudden, you know, Sealing just goes on a run and wins 62-45. Yes, it's physically hard to play Sealing because they're so good and they attack you the whole time. But I almost think it's even more of a mental challenge to stay locked in for the entire 32 minutes against Sealing. Yeah, had it within 3. Before the fourth quarter. Yeah, there you go. But it's just so mentally taxing because here's the problem. And this is easy to do for, what, 15 to 18-year-old kids, it's pretty easy to kind of wander off mentally for 30 seconds, a minute, maybe even 90 seconds. And the issue when you play them is if you wander off mentally for 90 seconds, they can put 10 or 12 on the board just like that, and then you're done. Then you can't get, you know, you can't get it back from that big a deficit. So they're just, man, and they keep coming, and it's kudos to Coach Hamer and the program and the mentality that they have as well, that they can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously 10 deep, and you know they run them in and out, but you see it year after year, and it's just, man, they're hard to play against because you're almost like walking on eggshells, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so nerve-wracking knowing. You know what it reminds me of? Reminds me of the Warriors, where you know, especially like when they played at home,
Golden State
Warriors, where you knew you had, and that was even longer. You had to do that for 48 minutes, because just a small snippet where you mess up, it boom, it's over, because of the roll that he can get on, and that's kind of what happened in the fourth quarter there.
Yeah,
but
they're a machine.
They really are.
They're just a well-oiled machine, and when a player leaves, the next player's up. You know, I would love to just sit in on a practice and see what that regimen is like for Coach Hamer. And, you know, are they constantly – is it a constant – it's almost like an orchestra or a ballet, you know. Just everybody knows their part. Everybody knows when they go in and what they're doing, and both defensively and offensively. Okay, next 5 up, and boom, boom, boom. It's just a well – I mean, it's what a program – it's what you want your program to be like. And they're doing – I mean, it's – and it and another part of it is before the game, you're thinking, okay, we got Sealing. You know, kind of overhype yourself and overdo it. And sometimes you got to just forget who you're playing and go play your basketball and take your brand of basketball versus whoever's brand of basketball.
Yeah, it's so hard to do that against them.
It's hard. When you know Sealing's coming to town.
Well, it's just the way they play. It's so hard not to get caught up into the way they they force their style on you as good as anybody I can remember.
Yeah.
You know, you want to slow it down, but they almost make you play faster than you want to play.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, great points on the text line. One is they're deep. They're not a ton of drop-off when you go from the first 5 to the second 5,
no.
And they do have shooters everywhere.
And that's not just this year. It's like every year you see them play, there is not that drop. There's not that drop-off isn't there.
And then another point, and this is exactly right, and it takes this to do what they're doing. It's not just the basketball team. It's the whole community that is going along for the ride, totally bought in. And as any excellent team, it's not just practice time. They put in their own time.
100%. whether that be travel ball or just getting just in the gym by themselves, yep. or, yep. you know, there's the buy-in is there, and it's been there for years.
The ceiling won the boys as well, 56-50 over Texoma. So good game there. Then Duke, they suffered their first loss to ceiling in the semifinals. They beat Merritt in the boys' third-place game, 56-42. Down in Altus, Tri-County, Timmy Ellison and the Navajo Lady Indians are the champs as they've defeated Arnett 57-54 in the finals. Two pretty good girls' games down there. The finals was a three-point game. Navajo won. The third-place game was a two-point game. Hobart beat Leedy 43-41 for third. So that's really, really good competition. Then the Leedy boys fell in the final to Hobart. We thought that would probably be the final. Good game. Both teams. Hobart had been on the boys' side. What are they now? It seemed like they've been as high as like 6 or 7. Yeah, 7 right now. 16-1. So, I mean, no shame as far as the Bison go to lose that one to Hobart. So that's another team in that 2A. You know, the Merritt girls, Hobart boys are some teams to watch out for out here in western, southwestern Oklahoma.
I want to go back to Navajo girls. They're a team I think that's coming on here. And if you're in Class A, pay attention to them. Class A team around here, obviously Canute. Just that might be a team you have to contend with when you're thinking you're looking up when you really should be looking at down because they're ranked 18th. So it could, they might, and right, like I said, they're playing some good ball. And you mentioned that Hobart girls team, they beat them. They won this tournament. They beat a pretty good Arnett team by doing it. Coach Ellison, he's a good coach. He's no stranger to this. So
yeah, 3 out of the last 4 wins have been against a ranked Hobart team, a ranked Leedy team, and a ranked Arnett team.
Yeah,
that's pretty good stuff
really
there
good.
For Coach Ellison and the Lady Indians. What else we got? What else we got over at Cordell? Cordell is the champion on the girls' side as they beat Sweetwater in the final. Eric was third, 39-29 over Grandfield in the third-place game. And then the Eric Bearcats are the winners. On the boys' bracket, 56-44 over Sweetwater. I think that might have been the inaugural one of those.
Over at Cordell, I can't remember it.
I don't remember.
Happening last year or years past. All right, so that's it. All tournament's done. Right?
That's yes.
All wrapped up.
Yeah.
Until, now's the final push to playoffs.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. All right, speaking of the playoffs, let's talk about the NFL playoffs. Let's just go from the most recent backwards.
Okay.
Chiefs beat the Bills again in the playoffs, this time in Buffalo, 27-24. It was a game that at times it looked like the Bills were just going to bludgeon the Chiefs to death, running it right down their throat. But at the end of the day, I thought the Chiefs' defense was the difference. You know, it was a score fest there, kind of mid-second quarter through most of the third. And then all of a sudden, the Bills go 3-and-out, fumble, 3-and-out, and then miss field goal at the end. And the Chiefs were able to play just enough defense there as the Bills got around the 30-yard line to force that long field goal attempt in the cold, and it really wasn't even close. Did the Chiefs look like the champs again?
I tell you what, they know how to turn it on in the playoffs. That's one thing. And doing it at Buffalo is another better thing. That's pretty good. And then they're getting to that point where they're just familiar with being in those surroundings and in that, in a game of that magnitude. And next week will be no different. They won't bat an eye to it. They definitely look good. There's some stuff, though. I mean, how much credit do you give a bad kick to the Chiefs? There was a questionable PI call, stuff like that. But give them credit. Going to Buffalo is not an easy place to go to and win. They went in there. They look like the more confident team and almost a little bit more prepared. So the question was, are they the champ? Do they look like champion contenders, championship contenders? Yeah, I mean, why not? With 49ers and Baltimore, yeah.
I just thought their offense and the way Mahomes kind of once they settled in, it felt like the Mahomes of old, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And being able to just kind of do exactly what they needed to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's times where he just blows you away, and then there's other times, and it seems like in those Bills, both of those guys were so cognizant of not turning the ball over that they probably missed some throws that they could have hit in a normal game, but they just didn't want to give the other one that advantage of turning it over. And then, you know, Josh Allen tried to Josh Allen. That's when I thought when I thought the Bills were finally going to beat him. Is when, I mean, what's McDermott? What's his last name? The coach? Sean McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
Did he think that we were going to see, you know how like in a spring game, like college spring games, they bring the kid that obviously has had a rough go of it and coming out of the hospital or, you know, whatever, they hand it off to him and, you know, the defense just lets him score?
Right. Yeah.
Is that what he thought the Kansas City punt team was going to do for DeMar Hamlin as a tribute to him? What the hell was that? A fake? I mean, I'm serious. Is there thought process in there of, hey, watch this, we're going to get DeMar and a ESPY or some crap like that?
It's like it's trying to create a story.
Trying to create
a special moment. Maybe you could maybe you should have done that in the regular season against the Jets or somebody. Maybe don't do it against the Chiefs.
In the divisional season playoff
on the line.
Game.
Yeah.
And of course he gets stopped and nobody even mentions his name because it was a negative thing.
Yeah, I didn't know it was either until they just said the Bills fake punt stop. I didn't know who it was.
Isn't that wild?
I never heard
who I promise you if it was a first down you'd have known who it was. Anyhow, then the Chiefs get down there, and Andy Reid, I mean, Dakota just sent us the meme of him circling around in the huddle and then going out and scoring against the Raiders or whatever that was, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was Lincoln Riley-esque, what he did on the goal line. Handing it to Mecole Hardman, that then a fumble through the end zone. Pound it with Pacheco, for goodness sakes. They're not stopping that monster. And instead, get cute and almost give the game away with the fumble through the end zone. I think it was probably the right call. But even Romo, when it's over, going, oh, I don't know. And even maybe even Steratore going, yeah, it's close. And it looks like, but this, isn't it indisputable video evidence to overturn stuff? Isn't that the phrasing?
Right.
Are we sure that was there? I mean, even after the call was made, it was like, well, that means you don't overturn it.
Yeah, it has
period,
to be
end of story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hands down.
I think that's
a hung jury, then it's a throw out.
That's right.
Throw out the case,
throw out
the trial.
I think they got the call right. I'm not saying I don't know. And that's where it's such a gray area there that really needs to be cleaned up. Anyhow, but then Allen threw a pick six to Legarius Sneed. The problem was McDuffie tipped it away before it ever got to him. And then the very next play, he fumbles it, and that's going to be it could be a scoop and score. And Dalton Kincaid, what a play. Just reaching his hand out, it was McDuffie again, kept him from just scooping it and going. And then that allowed the field goal attempt to happen. But I'm just, listen, everybody buried the Chiefs last year at the beginning of the season when they kind of struggled a little bit. Everybody has buried the Chiefs long ago this season because of what the hell, even what's-his-name caught two unbelievable catches. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, he was down there with people all over him making catches in that game last night. I wouldn't be so sure to bury the Chiefs, even though I think Baltimore's going to beat them. I would not bet against the Chiefs. Because we've seen it too many times. We've just seen it. So Mahomes is getting into that Brady, Manning sort of territory where, yeah, you think something's going to happen and you think they're going to get beat, but, man, you don't feel good about trying it at all.
Now, if I'm Baltimore, I'm nervous enough because it's the Chiefs, it's Mahomes, but it is the same feeling teams would get against Brady or Manning in the playoffs, especially – a big game like this that they think, oh, man, yeah, we're at home, we're rolling, we're clearly the favorites, but it's still those guys who still pull rabbits out of their hat and gets wins for their team.
I promise you, if you put Jim's Truth Serum in Baltimore, they wanted the Bills to win that game 100%. Last night. Even though I think the Bills, if they, I don't know, they can't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, that's for sure. It's more than obvious. But it almost feels like the Bills were the better team. The Chiefs just had that guy. And the defense was great when it had to be in the fourth quarter. Give Kansas City credit there. Because in the early part of that game, the first half or even the first 2.5 quarters, it looked like that Buffalo could just run right through them. And they were running right through them. And then they kind of stiffened. I saw a stat that James Cook, you know what his over-under was for rushing yards for the game? 61.5. Okay. Going into the fourth quarter, he had 67 rush yards. He carried the ball 4 times in the fourth quarter for 0, 0, minus 4, and minus 2.
Oh, no.
You know what that gets you down to? 61. And so he lost 6 yards in the fourth quarter to go under his rushing total.
Ouch.
But that's kind of tells you what the Chiefs did.
Wow.
Detroit. Man, that was a fun one, and it came down. Listen, at 2 o'clock, I'm sure there will be all kinds of Baker slander going on, which you can pick it apart if you want to. He definitely threw a couple of interceptions, one that led to a field goal, and one that ended the game. But I think if you got more of a objective look at it, Baker Mayfield was awesome for the most part in that game, but Detroit was better, and Detroit has been kind of the Cinderella story dating all the way back to Hard Knocks, last year, when people really kind of started to be aware of Dan Campbell and what they were doing. And I think Dan Campbell, to me, Jared, has done something that is really difficult to do in the NFL by a coach.
Win at Detroit?
That and create a positive winning culture in Detroit, in that locker room, because of the discrepancy. And maybe this speaks to the youth of that team a little bit, where they don't have – their stars are still young, where they don't have that "I make more money than you" attitude. Yeah, sure, Jared Goff does. But, you know, you look at Sewell and you look at Aiden Hutchinson. Those guys are still young. Those guys are still on their not mega deals yet.
Well, it's the same reason why we love the Thunder, right? Young guys who aren't enamored with what their paychecks are, that they're out there playing. So I think another thing at Campbell, I think part of the secret is he came in and embraced the Detroit attitude, the Detroit culture, and he brought that into the locker room. And I think there's a good link right there between the players playing for the city and not playing for themselves. I think I kind of sensed that. At least I did, all the pregame stuff, all the stuff you saw. But, yeah, he's done a great job, Campbell has.
It was pretty wild to see, you know, everything going on after the game was over, and the celebrations that were happening by all of his teammates. And then you saw Aiden Hutchinson, who grew up to those games in the futility that was the Detroit Lions. Like, he didn't even – it didn't appear that he even really knew what to do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think he was just taking it in.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, just
like
just,
almost, and
just,
almost like – but a shock look. Like,
yeah.
Like, I can't – this can't be real that I'm sitting right here in this stadium that I've seen so much awfulness at, and here I am, a part of the team that just did this.
Right.
Yeah, sure, taking it in. There's no doubt about that. But then almost – but even more than that, like almost in a state of shock. I mean, think about this. Detroit went defeated – this century. And you know what they did? They went defeated this century and still made the NFC Championship game before the Dallas Cowboys. Back to Baker. You know, I saw a bunch of, oh, same old Baker in the playoffs. Oh, yeah? You're right. You're just not making the point that you want to. Baker Mayfield in the playoffs, 63% completion rating. He's played 4 playoff games. He's 2-2 in those playoff games. He's been an underdog in every single one of them. He's thrown for almost 300 yards a game, 1,153. So you take that, you know, it's what, 290, 285 maybe, something like that, 290, 287. Anyway, 10 touchdowns to 3 picks. He's been phenomenal. And I think you saw after that game, the teammates come out in support of him big time. Godwin, Mike Evans. That's an interesting subplot to this. What will they pay him? What will they pay him? Yeah. Or what will somebody else pay him? It's a really good situation for him.
He's in a great situation.
It's in a with those guys.
Well, personally, he's in a great situation with his if Tampa Bay. From what I've heard, I don't know if it's true or not, that they might have a deal already in place before that game yesterday. They're ready to commit to him for a couple years. But if not, and I heard this driving in, my slow drive in, that there could be other teams that are going to want to use him, or would want to bring him in, I think. So he's in a great situation. But I think the best situation would be in Tampa Bay if they can keep some certain pieces there. Evans is one. I'm not sure of his age, but he's still very productive.
This is like his ninth season, so he's around 30.
There's something there between him, Baker, and Evans. And if I'm Baker, I'd 100% pushing it. Hey, got to resign this guy. Got to keep it attractive here. Let's see if we can keep him. Yeah, he's in a good position. Baker is.
Yeah, he is.
It's a nice story. You like him or not. Take away what if he beat your team or his attitude on the field, grabbing the crotch, whatever. Take that out of it. His story is nice with being the number one pick, with a place where quarterbacks go to die and made them somewhat relevant. Then they dump him, and then everyone's writing him off as a bust, and then now here he is.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, now Goff obviously made the Super Bowl at the Rams, so that's a difference than with his first team than Baker's. But he was also kind of thrown out on the scrap heap in similar fashion with a direct trade for Matthew Stafford as opposed to what happened in Cleveland getting Deshaun Watson there. So that was kind of a pretty a cool story that those two former number one overall picks in new situations that they've really kind of thrived at. And one of those two was going to play to go to the Super Bowl. It turns out it's Jared Goff. And that's Detroit's better than Tampa. I think eventually you saw the better team won out. But it was a really cool story, and I think there's no doubt that outside of maybe those guys in that locker room at Tampa, they outperformed what anybody's preseason expectations were. San Francisco escapes on Saturday night from Green Bay.
Man, I really wanted to sound smart today and have Green. I didn't pick them, but I was just as far as the number ones who could go down. That situation there, I thought maybe
was that Russ? Did we see Russ from San Fran, or are they really as vulnerable as they look?
Maybe give the Packers a little bit of credit too.
Packers,
right?
Listen, Dallas's loss was still horrible. We're not sugarcoating that whatsoever. But maybe they were better than anybody realized. Because you think about Green Bay, they lost five out of their first seven. Any spotlight games they had early, Jordan Love struggled. So they were kind of out of sight, out of mind until Thanksgiving. They win in Detroit in Thanksgiving, but what is that? Da, da, da. You kind of forget about them until all of a sudden they show up in Dallas a week ago and just pound the ever-living heck out of the Cowboys. And then it's like, well, was that a fluke? But I think a lot of people put that on Dallas and not the credited Green Bay the way that maybe they needed to. But at the end of the day, they don't get it done. Purdy is so – golly, you can talk a lot of different ways about Brock Purdy. The drive at the end was unbelievable. He was really pretty bad the rest of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But he's going to get credit for that drive, as he should. I think maybe it even should overshadow the struggles that he had at times throughout that game. But, man, it just – to me, that is the vulnerability. If Debo can't play and can Brock – he just did it. I get it. He just had the game-winning drive. But I guess I'm going to be in that I'll believe it when I see it. And that's probably unfair to him. Okay. It's unfair to him. Sorry. I just won't believe that Brock Purdy is a Super Bowl winning quarterback till he does it. And there's all kinds of that in sports, right? I promise you nobody's going to be anywhere near thinking Dallas is any good next year, no matter what their record is, until they prove it on the field in the playoffs. So if we're going to act like Brock Purdy is an MVP candidate and all that, I want to see – I'm not going to believe he's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback until he wins a Super Bowl. Then after that, okay, he gets the benefit of the doubt.
I think it's okay to be on a great team and be a game manager, and I think that's kind of what Brock Purdy has kind of turned into. He's made some great throws, and he's done some good things, but when you got someone like McCaffrey around you, when you have Kittle to throw to, when Samuel's out there, when you have him, that's all you got to do is just not turn the ball over, basically. Be a good quarterback. Don't be a great quarterback. And I think sometimes you see that with some quarterbacks who come in, especially high draft pick quarterbacks, and they think, I got to be great. I got to come out here. I got to carry this team on my shoulders. And I love that mentality, but sometimes you think, man, this is a nice luxury to have. I got all these other pros around me like McCaffrey and all those guys I mentioned. So I think – my point is I think Brock Purdy is a good quarterback, but I'm with you. I want to see it. I want to see him be a great quarterback at the highest level on the biggest stage, and we'll probably get to see that here in about 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's no different than questioning Jimmy G.
Sure, yeah.
Everyone questioned Jimmy G.
Right.
And he proved a lot of people maybe wrong as far as getting to the Super Bowl, but winning it, he never did. And let's be honest, in that Super Bowl against the Chiefs, he had chances to make throws to win the game. He didn't make them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had a problem jumping on him, but it feels like Brock Purdy's got some kind of little shields around him because maybe he was Mr. Irrelevant. Is that it? Where I can't believe
if he makes a mistake, well, that's okay. He was the last pick of the draft.
But also, why are you discounting him because he's the last pick in the draft? You know,
well, something that we've never seen before.
That's right. And even Brady, he wasn't clear at the end, and he was sixth round, but he wasn't the very last pick in the draft. And I do think that it makes it to where, you know, whatever side you're on there, it feels like it's
could any just
thing
like average to good quarterback be plugged in there at San Francisco?
I don't think so.
Succeed?
I think he's better than that, but I also don't think he is way out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do think he's better than just like game manager is a term. We all know it. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably better than that, but he's also able to be that because that team is so good. You know what I mean? And I think he proved, and you know, it wasn't game managing time at the end. And guess what? He drove him right down the field and scored a touchdown. So, you know, he's probably better than quote-unquote game manager. But I also don't think he's some sort of top five quarterback in the league. But he has the skill to do exactly what you need him to do. Don't screw it up, and yet go win the game. And he did both throughout that game on Saturday. And then you got the Ravens and Houston, close early. You know, Houston got that punt return for a touchdown. You can see the promise with C.J. Stroud. But, man, this feels like, you know, there's those, you know, climbing the ladder moments throughout different players' careers. And then you finally climb it to the pinnacle, you know. This feels like Lamar Jackson's season. It's his turn.
Right, yeah.
And that team, the defense, is scary. They can run it. They can pass. I mean, Lamar was good. He didn't have to be spectacular. He was good. Better than, you know, playoff Lamar kind of has been. But, you know, 16 of 22, that's no great shakes for 152. Threw two touchdowns, no picks. And then 11 rushes for 100 yards. I mean, that's what he does.
And a couple touchdowns.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm saying when you look at 16 of 22 for 152 and you go, oh, my gosh, playoff Lamar still there. He can't throw it well. He didn't throw a pick. He threw two touchdowns. And, you know, he's a game manager in a way as well, except for he's just spectacularly good at it. You know what I mean? They're going to be hard to beat in my mind. Hard to beat, but there's this little birdie in my back of my head. I can't decide if it's Sean's voice or Dakota's voice, right in the very back of my skull, going, "Don't count out Mahomes."
I know.
Don't count out
Mahomes.
Don't count out Mahomes.
Same way. Final thought on the NFL. I didn't know if I liked Jason Kelce, but yesterday, I love the guy. He is awesome.
Okay, I saw a comparison about him jumping out of the suite. Did you see this comparison?
But when I do it, my wife gets mad.
No. Oh. Like, this is a comparison to a movie figure.
Who's that?
We were talking about the high school basketball playoffs. We're going to know pairings for Class A and Class B coming up on Friday. You know what that means, Jared?
I do know what that means.
That means we're getting closer and closer to everybody picking their eight for state. Tucker Family Beef back on board for the eight for state contest. Remember how it works. Everybody picks their eight state tournament teams in Class A and Class B, boys and girls both. You earn a point there, and then once we get to the state tournament week, you fill out a bracket, point to win the quarterfinals, two to get into the win a semifinal game, and then three to pick the champion of the bracket. Doesn't necessarily have to be the same team. You know, you've got eight teams, so if you're who you thought was going to win it, doesn't make the state tournament, doesn't matter. You can reset and pick those brackets. Appreciate Monty at Tucker Family Beef. Have you had a beef stick yet?
I've had their beef, not a beef stick.
New local beef snack sticks made right here in Oklahoma. They've got regular and jalapeno cheese. They're absolutely delicious. You can pick those up around. I know the Sayre Golf Course has them. We have them out here at our golf course. I think maybe Southbound Quick Stop over in Sayre has them as well. And, of course, you can order them right online, tuckerfamilybeef.com. Of course, the half and whole beef. I've got most of a half in my freezer as we speak. Just, it's great stuff. I can't possibly recommend it more for anybody looking for great beef. It's fantastic. It makes you do it once. If you ever buy a half beef from them, you will never buy beef from the store again. It hooks you that much.
You get with them and get ready for Super Bowl.
Oh yeah,
right. I mean, get mm-hmm. ready. Yeah.
So halves and wholes are there. I will tell you all about Tucker Family Beef for the next month and a half as we build up for the eight for state. With the Class A and Class B state basketball tournaments coming up. All right. So I saw when you're talking about Jason Kelce jumping out of the suite.
Yeah.
All kinds of memes you talk about. Now, oh, it's cool when he does it. When I do it, my wife says go home. The one I saw was comparing it to when the Velociraptor in Jurassic Park realized he could get out. Break contain. That's what I saw it compared good. To. Uh-oh. Jason can break containment of this suite. Everybody look out. And here's what's crazy. How easily he got back in.
Yeah.
Dude.
You know, there's a bunch of security. You saw the security. It's like right outside the suite there. My favorite part was him grabbing the little girls. One he took a selfie with. Another one, I guess, had a Taylor Swift sign and lifted her up so she could wave at Taylor Swift. Pretty cool. Pretty cool dude.
He was out in the parking lot with the Bills fans pre-gaming at the tailgates. Saw some videos of that.
He was doing stuff. He's, you know, how I wonder how long he's been on the field and look up at the stands and go, man, I really want to be in the stands right now and chug some beers and watch a football game instead of be out here.
Yeah, there was the report was at the Super Bowl party, the parade a couple years ago.
Yeah.
The winning parade that he, before he gave his speech, he had drank 20 beers.
Oh, wow.
And they asked him on a scale of 1 to 10, kind of what's your drunkenness after 20 beers, and he said 5.
Oh. Okay, Andre the Giant. All right. My goodness.
Man, if you guys don't know the stats of Andre, go look that up.
There's a great documentary out there. I think it's on Max.
Man.
He's really
– like 100 and – yeah. I don't want to overstate the number, but I think his record, like 121 beers or something like that.
You know why
in a setting?
You know why he drank that much?
Why?
It's kind of sad because he was in pain.
Oh yeah.
Because his condition of I guess I don't know what it's called, but that's why he drank all that beer. Not to be cool and be the cool guy at the bar. It's because he was suppressing the physical pain he was always going through.
Yeah, this is a great point on the text line. Jason Kelce, just a normal, regular guy, happens to be a great football player and a Hall of Famer. That's right. That's exactly what he proved to everybody.
And I could say I like him now that he's not an Eagle. Has that been official?
No, he backtracked that.
Oh, darn it. Maybe maybe he gets maybe he goes to Kansas City for 1 year to play with his brother. They both retire at the same time.
Turns out they've got a pretty good center there as well.
Maybe he doesn't care to start.
Yeah,
he just maybe wants
not.
To be on the same team with his brother for 1 year.
On the text line, he's acting like you do when you get a night away from the wife and kids. Jason Kelce.
Okay. I'm not going to dispute that.
Hopefully there's no video evidence.
No, I'm good at that. I put the phone away.
Do you make everybody else put the phone away there?
I don't go to... No, I just...
You roll into Friends, start dancing on the table,
oh, no.
So make sure everybody
puts
their phones down
that
Allie doesn't have... By the way, oh my gosh, I can't believe we didn't start with this. Your wife, bar none, funniest Facebook post of the weekend.
Yes, Saturday morning at my kid's basketball game.
Funniest Facebook post of the weekend.
Yeah, right.
Keep on rocking, Allie. That was awesome. You didn't find any humor in it?
Did you see my reaction post after it?
I saw it.
I guess I don't like being compared to Kim Mulkey.
Well, I mean.
Be crazy. I'm not crazy.
I think it had more to do with.
Yelling than little.
Maybe not being able to watch the whole game at times.
That happened one time.
Are we sure?
What was so devastating about that is I arranged for my man Josh Woodson to fill in for me on Paragon that day so I could go and watch my kid play, and then barely in the game, I booted. But I blew that.
Is that the only time?
It's the only time.
Not a softball?
No. I've been on the edge, but I've not. That was
close,
the first
but,
and only okay. time.
Back
and
up.
A big reason why I was tossed that time, it was because Allie was not with me. She's usually right there to grab my leg or tell, or she has at times physically put her hand over my mouth to stop me. And I was unhinged, I guess. And
so anyway. Are we going?
There's actual video of it. If you want to see the video, get with me, and you can see why I shouldn't have been tossed.
Are we going to? So are we now? Have we rolled this around to where we're going to blame Allie for you getting tossed?
No. Ooh, no, good. That was me giving her a compliment.
Good choice.
She's my better half. She's the one who.
Good choice.
She's. I mean, I can't imagine life without her. I'd be a record. I'd be banned from games. A good reason why at high school games I've never been tossed because I got a headset on and I can't yell. So
everyone has a moment. That's true.
That's true.
That's very true. All right, we didn't.
I never thought I'd be like that, but it's different when it's your kids playing. When it's your own flesh and blood out there, that's when it's a little. And then when it's. And you kind of have, you know this, when those other girls that you've seen your kid grow up with, they're kind of an extension of your family, and when you see them play. So I never thought I'd be like that. I'm working on it. It's kind of one of my New Year's resolutions is to calm down.
It's, you know what I find quickly, like in a situation like this week where, you know, there's a game, you call one game, and then you set a few games because of the schedule, and then you call another game.
Mm-hmm.
I find really quickly that I'm so glad I have those headphones on because I don't have to hear a bunch of that crap.
Yeah.
Just yep. Like, oh, my gosh.
Yep.
People amuse me. Yeah. Sort of.
Sometimes it comes through the mic, though, especially when you're courtside because all that is going down onto the court. I heard a lot on Saturday.
Oh, I bet so. I bet that's right. All right, everybody, have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the Skinny on Sports on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, Anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift of this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.